Would you grab your Bibles with me this morning? If you've got your Bible, how many of you have one hand free? That is tough right now. Oh, that is tough. Let's do it anyway, shall we? Let's hold it up. If you believe it, let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. How many of you have Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 memorized? How many of you got it memorized? Yep. Probably some of the most famous verses in the book of Proverbs. Let me read it for you. Beginning at verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will" what? "Direct your path." Would you bow with me in a word of prayer this morning? Father, I thank you again that you have a way of causing your Logos word to become rhema, to become alive inside of us. I thank you that you have filled us with your spirit that allows us to understand spiritual things, things that mind of the flesh, things that mind of logic will never grasp. Today I want to thank you that you have prepared every heart and every mind under the sound of my voice. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will be speaking powerfully in a way that we can hear. Before we begin, Holy Spirit, I invite you again to take literal possession of my mind and my mouth. I only want to say those things that I hear you say and do what I see you do. And with the authority you have given in Jesus' name, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch and pervert and distort the seed as it goes forth. I command you now to be silent and to be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you again. You are speaking. In these days, you are speaking powerfully. Your church is hearing your voice. And you have given them a heart to be obedient. And so today, Father, as your word goes forth, I thank you for the understanding and I thank you for the obedience that will follow. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody believing said, amen. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you believe that God has something to say about every area of our life? God has something to say. How many of you use the book of Leviticus for devotions? Really? Do you? You enjoy it? That's right. It's true. You got to go there. By faith, you'll enjoy it. Would you grab your Bible? I want you to turn with me to a couple places. I need to read you a few things this morning just to lay a foundation of what the Lord talks about. Would you go to Leviticus chapter 14? Leviticus chapter 14. I'm not going to read all of it, but I want to begin at verse 33. Listen to this. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When you enter the land of Canaan, which I am giving you as your possession, and I put a spreading mildew in a house in that land, the owner of the house must go and tell the priest, 'I have seen something that looks like mildew in my house.' The priest is to order the house to be emptied before he goes in to examine the mildew so that nothing in the house will be pronounced unclean. After this, the priest is to go in, inspect the house. He's to examine the mildew on the walls, and if it is greenish, reddish depressions that appear to be deeper than the surface of the wall, the priest shall go out of the doorway, out of the house, and close it up for 7 days." And I could go on. Does God care about mildew in your house? Obviously, right? Would you flip over to chapter 22 of Leviticus? Chapter 22. And I just want to read a few verses beginning at verse 23. Talking about acceptable and unacceptable sacrifices, he says, "You may, however, present as a freewill offering an ox or a sheep that is deformed or stunted, but it will not be accepted in fulfillment of a vow. You must not offer to the Lord an animal whose testicles are bruised, crushed, torn, or cut. You must not do this on your own land, and you must not accept such animals from the hand of a foreigner and offer them as food to your God. They will not be acceptable on your behalf because they are deformed and have defects. And we could go on. Does God care about the quality of the sacrifice? He does. Would you go over to chapter 25? Just want to read one more for you, beginning. Well, beginning of verse 25. If one of your countrymen becomes poor and sells some of the property, his nearest relative is to come and redeem what his countryman has sold. If, however, a man has no one to redeem it for him, but he himself prospers and acquires sufficient means to redeem it, he is to determine the value for the years since he sold it and refund the balance to the man to whom he sold it. He can then go back to his own property. But he does not acquire the means to repay him. What he has sold will remain in the possession of the buyer until the year of Jubilee. It will be returned in the Jubilee, and he can then go back to his own property. Can I ask you, does God care about what you buy and sell? Obviously. And we could go through here and I could pick out another 50 or 100 things that seem totally trivial, and yet God has something to say about them. This morning, I would like you, if you have your notepad and a pen, I want to have a few verses, and there'll be a couple things to write down, but I'd like you to write down 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. 1 Chronicles 12, 32. This is talking about those who joined David when he was running from Saul and David began to build a big army. 1 Chronicles 12, 32 says, there were men from Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. The men from Issachar have always been known down through time as a men who knew the times and knew what to do. And I think many of us in here have had people pray that the spirit of Issachar would be over us, that we would be those kind of people, we'd know the times and know what to do. 1 Chronicles 12, 32. Would you also write down John chapter 16, verse 13? This is Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit coming. Listen what he says. He said, when the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit will tell you what is coming before it comes. This morning, I need to share with you some of the things that the Holy Spirit has filled believers who are seeking the Lord and looking for direction, asking the question in light of all that's going on in our world. They are asking, Lord, what is it you are wanting me to do in specific areas of my life? I want to tell you, for some, they haven't just started asking in the midst of what is going on. There are some who have been asking and seeking the Lord all along and have been choosing to be obedient to what he's been leading them to do. But I do want to tell you that for many, it's just beginning now. They are beginning to be aware and beginning to think that in some of these areas that seem so trivial or so indifferent, they're beginning to go, instead of me just choosing and leaning on my understanding, I'm going to inquire of the Lord and find out from him, as compared to acting like I'm smarter than God. And they're beginning to inquire. This morning, I want to make this really clear before I begin. In every area that I'm going to share with you, I am not telling you what to do. I need to make that clear. This is not about me instructing you what to do in these areas. This is about me bringing areas to the surface and asking you to begin inquiring of God concerning these areas. All I'm going to do is identify and asking you to inquire. I also want to make one more thing clear before I begin. We as believers are not to be fear-led in our decisions. Would you agree? We are not to see something that happens and go, oh my goodness, we better do this because if we don't do it, this is... That is not how we as believers are to be led. In fact, we know incredibly clearly, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, as believers, we have not been given a spirit of what? We have not been given that spirit. That is not a spirit that we have. And can I just say this to you? If fear lands on you, and if you find yourself motivated to do things because of fear, you instantly know that is not God speaking to you. I wish I could tell you that the church is immune from the spirit of fear. Well, I'll tell you, it's not. We have to stand against that spirit like we do every other demonic entity that comes, because the enemy would love us to be fear-led as compared to spirit-led. No, it is the Holy Spirit in this area at this time who knows the bigger picture than we do. We only know a part. He knows the big picture. He knows what's going on. And when we go to him, Spirit, what is it you want me to do here? Believe he's going to let us know. I would like you to write down, I'm going to give you 8 things this morning that God has laid upon my heart. Some of these things you may not have ever heard brought up before. Some of the things I read from Leviticus you may not have heard before, but let me say, in every area of our life, God has something to say if we're willing to hear him. Would you write down number 1? 1 to 8, but would you write down number 1? I'm going to have Linda shoot them on the screen. Would you write down money in the banks? Would you write down money in the banks? Those of you who were here last week, you know that the week before we experienced an unprecedented event that has not happened in any of our lifetimes. You know that last Tuesday there was a run on Canadian banks that in one 24-hour period left the Canadian banks destabilized in the world markets, such that our prime minister turned the decision a day and a half later and rescinded the Emergency Act. For some people, they went through Tuesday and were absolutely oblivious to what took place. Let me tell you, the world was not. In one day, as I told you last week, when I asked people at the bank about people putting their money back in, and I got to tell you again this week, I contacted a number of the bankers, and I said, can I just ask you, is the money that poured out last week, is it flowing back in? Guess what the answer is? No. Every one of them said the money is not coming back into the bank, and they said again, it's likely not going to. Can I ask you why? I got to tell you clearly, last week what happened in the banks, I believe, was primarily fear-based. People heard the Emergency Act. They reacted the next morning, Tuesday morning. Money by the billions left the banks. It was rescinded, but as a result, people saw the power of the government, and they went and they made a decision. Can I ask you a question? If 6 months ago, in your quiet time, the Holy Spirit would have said to you your name and said, I want you to begin withdrawing your finances out of the bank. There is going to be a destabilization and a collapse. I don't want your funds in there. Can I ask you, would you have heard him? We need to inquire of the Lord. We need to hear what he is saying in that area. And can I just get this really straight? Most of us were raised about, don't talk about money in the church. Well, can I tell you, there are three times as many scriptures about money in the Bible than there is about salvation. Do you know why? God cares about our money. Money is a tool that can either build the kingdom of God or build the kingdom of the enemy. And we have been called to be stewards, faithful with little, what? Qualified for much. We as believers are not to be Johnny come lately when something happens. We go, oh, we better react because everybody else is doing it. We are called to be those who hear ahead of time and begin to make the move ahead of time so that when all of a sudden the world is fear-based, we go, already looked after, already done. It's already out of there. It's already out of harm's way. I am not here to tell you what to do with your money in the bank. What I am here to do is challenge you to inquire of the Lord in the days that we are in what he is leading you to do. And I want to say this really clearly. For those of you who are single, as you inquire of the Lord, I would encourage you to find two or three people who surround you that you believe have wisdom. And when you are hearing things, go to your wise counsel and say, would you first of all pray for me? This is what I'm getting from the Lord. And would you allow them to be sounding boards for you? Not God's voice to you, but sounding boards. For those of you who are married, if I was the enemy, I'll tell you I would do everything in my power to make sure there is no unity between you and your spouse when it comes to finances. Let me tell you, finance is one of the three big dogs that take marriages down in the 70-80 percentile today. The enemy goes, if I can divide them concerning finances, I can wreck this relationship. Let me tell you, when I inquire of the Lord, and when Jane inquires of the Lord, and the Lord is not schizophrenic, and he lays upon our heart, allows us to shape and compromise and come to a place where we hear his voice and walk in unity with finance, let me tell you, there is a security in that that is powerful. In this area, I encourage you to inquire of the Lord concerning your finances in the banks today. Ask him. If he tells you to stay put, you stay put. If he tells you to move, you move. Inquire. Would you write down number two? Would you write down food reserves? Food reserves. In the midst of all that is going on today and all that is being talked about, one of the warnings that is being spoken out is the possibility of food shortages occurring. Can I just ask you how many of you have heard that out there? The possibility of food shortage coming. Okay. And can I just say this really clearly? It is not just coming from secular media, which I'm surprised is speaking about it. It is coming from spirit-led believers who are also releasing words and warnings to the church for those who hear. In this area, again, I'll tell you, there are those who have been hearing this area for quite some time. I'll tell you straight up, there are people who are hearing it brand new today. People who are hearing for the first time. But I want to tell you, there have been people who have been hearing from the Spirit of God for a long time. There are people who are completely prepared. If things shut off, they are totally good because God has led them to do something over a period of time and they're solid. Can I tell you, there's other people who've heard and are in the process. How many people go to the grocery store and they see something they normally buy and go, you know, today I'm buying two of them and I'm putting one of them over here. And every shopping experience, they do that and they are beginning to put away. I want you to think about something. There are people who I've spoken to who have been led in this area, who have made the statement to me, and they say, you know what? God has laid this upon our heart, and we're doing this, but they said, this is not just a preparedness for us. They look and they go, you know, the Lord has laid upon our heart that when things come down the pike, there's going to be a pile of people who are not prepared. We are prepared to minister to people. We're prepared to bring them in. We're prepared to bless them in Jesus' name and believing that God is going to use that as a ministry with what is coming. Isn't that a thought? Can I ask you a question? When Pharaoh had a dream and Joseph interpreted that dream and said 7 years of plenty is coming and 7 years of famine is coming after, and they began putting food away during the time of prosperity, can I ask you, was that fear-based or was that faith-based? Faith. They heard ahead of time from God through a secular king, interpreted by a Jewish young man, and by faith, they began for 7 years putting away. Can I ask you a question? When that famine hit, not just Egypt, but all around, why was it the Egyptians were prepared and the Israelites had to come and live off their preparation? Shouldn't have been that way. It should have been that God spoke to his people. They were prepared. They had the 7 years put away. And when things went south, the world came to the church instead of the church going to the world. Praise God for Joseph. I am not telling you what to do. What I am saying is inquire of the Lord in this area. Seek his voice and be obedient to what he gives you. Would you write down number three? Would you write down utility costs? When's the last time you heard a sermon on utility costs? Anybody look at their utility bill lately? Just raise your hand in the last month if you looked at it. Yeah. Anybody just want to shout out what you have observed in that bill? Increase. It's not the increase we talk about in the church, but it is increase. I have spoken to some people, not in this church, even on outside, who opened their bill and went, I can tell you honestly, it doubled. There were those who said it doubled. The majority of people said it did not double, but the increase was there. Can I ask you a question? What's going on there? What's happening? For other people, I want to tell you, can I say that? For other people, in this last month, they opened their utility bill, and there was no change. Don't raise your hand. For some people, there was no change in their bill. Can I ask you why? Wood stove. That's one idea. They had a utility bill, but let me tell you why. Last year in the fall, when it was already being announced that utility rates were going to increase, some of them were talking skyrocket, there were some people, when they heard that and they inquired about it, they found out it was a legitimate warning. They went to their utility companies, and what did they do? They locked in. There were people who locked in their rates for 3 to 5 years, and when they opened their bill, there was no change in that rate. Carbon tax? Yep. Transporting costs? Yep. But no change in utility rate. Can I ask you a question? To have gone ahead of time, to hear about it, to lock it in, can I ask you, was that fear-based, was that faith-based, or was that fact-based? Can I just say it again? If the Holy Spirit is about telling us what's coming before it comes, should we be a people who is ahead of the curve or behind the curve? Let me ask you, for those who didn't lock in, for those whose rates 50%, 60%, for those who doubled, what do you do? Do you believe the Lord still has a word for you concerning your utilities today? He does. The Lord has a word about that, absolutely. Can I say to you, I am not telling you what to do in this area. I am asking you to inquire of the Lord. Even now, if you've never done it before, inquire of the Lord and say, God, what do I do? Can I just take a quick poll right here? How many of you believe utility rates have gone as high as they're going to go, and from here, they're going to flatten and go down? Just raise your hand, would you? Look around the room. There is collective agreement that even from today, they are going to be going like this. We could list you 15 reasons why every one of us believes that. God, knowing that, believing that, what do I do? Is that a dumb question? Turn off the lights. Well, can I tell you? There are some families who are moving. They're sitting down with their spouse, sitting down with their children, and they are beginning to put stewardship into place that probably should have been there a long time ago and beginning to take rates and bringing them down because they're being responsible. There will be those who will always not be responsible. That's fine. But believe me, that's happening in some healthy homes. Homes moving toward health. Can I just ask you, put it on your radar. Inquire of the Lord. Would you write down number four? Would you write down power outages and power sources? Power outage and power sources. I want to ask you a question. How many of you, if the power were to go out in the winter months here, how many of you have a plan to stay in your home and not have to leave it? You would be fine for 3 or 4 days in your home without it freezing up, without you freezing up. You have a four-day plan when your power goes out. Just raise your hand, would you? Yes. Let me ask you another question. How many of you would be fine for 3 weeks? Just raise your hand. How many of you would be fine for 3 months? Just raise your hand. Okay. You know what? If we're all huddled in, it might be warm enough. Absolutely. I got to tell you, back in 1998 is when God began speaking to me about this, when the Quebec ice storms happened. Any of you remember that? We're not talking some third world country. We're talking in our country, down over there, the ice storms happened. There were some homes without power for 3 months. And in those homes, they had to leave. Every water line broke. Everything was destroyed in those homes, and there was a mass exodus. Do you know why? People were not prepared. Can I just take another quick poll? This is 2022. First world country. Canada's probably still the best country in the world to live in. How many of you believe that in the future, we are going to have periods of time where we will experience brownout from power, whether in the summer or the winter, for whatever reason, we're going to have seasons without power? How many of you believe that's coming? Some don't. There's some who do. I want to just ask you, when you inquire of the Lord in this area, I want to tell you what I've heard from some people. There are people who have said, you know, God has laid this in our heart and we put this together, whether it's a firestorm, doesn't matter what it is. We realize that around us there are a pile of people who are going to be totally caught off guard, like the rain coming down on the flood for Noah, totally caught off guard. When that happens, our lights will be on and our house will be warm. Do you know what we're going to do? We're going to invite people in. Now, I'll tell you, there's other people who've said, we got more guns and ammunition that's going to keep people out. Okay, that's out there too. But I believe the aliens on the planet, God's children who are prepared for what's coming because they know ahead of time, their homes are going to be sanctuaries in the midst of whatever goes on. I am not telling you what to do in this area. What I'm asking you to do is inquire of the Lord and say, God, if all that happened was 3 days shut down of power, would we be okay? God, what do we do to be okay? Inquire of the Lord. Would you write down number 5? Would you write down interest rates? We have gone through a period of time where we have seen the lowest interest rates in our lifetimes. Would you agree? We have never. When I got married to Jane in 1985, her dad had a 30-year mortgage on his house. His mortgage was at 6%. Everybody thought that was amazing that he locked it in at 6%. In fact, it was so good that he did not want to pay it off because he could make more with his money than he was paying on his mortgage. Do you remember that? 6%. If somebody came to you today and said their mortgage is 6%, what would you say to them? What is wrong with you? Variable rates right now are what? 1.3%. Variable mortgage rates, 1.3%. Anybody with a 6% mortgage, better change it. Let me tell you what's coming. Low interest rates have been a great thing for people who've had loans and mortgages. Can I just for interest sake, how many of you remember the early 80s when the interest rates were 20 to 23%? How many of you remember that? How many of you are not even born then? Yeah, let me tell you, the museum. Interest rates of 20 to 23%. There were people walking away from their homes, walking away from their condos, walking away from their farms because the mortgage was more than the land or the house or the condo was worth, and they were walking away. They could not afford to pay those rates, and values had gone down. Can I tell you, low interest rates have been excellent for a lot of people who've been borrowing. But I'll tell you, they've been very hard on who? Who have lower interest rates been hard on? As a whole, they've been hard on a lot of seniors who've had money put away, who have relied upon a return in their investment in order to live. You think it's by mistake that a lot of seniors are going back to work? You think that's by mistake? What is the concern right now about interest rates beginning to increase? How many of you heard the report? Interest rates are going to begin to move. How many of you heard that? Yep, if you haven't heard it, it'd be good to hear it. First of all, why are they going to go up? Why are interest rates moving up? One word, inflation. Let me give it to you really quickly. Our government has printed and stuck so much money into our economy that our dollar has been devalued and commodity prices have gone high, gone skyrocketed, and as a result, interest rates need to rise in order to stop the increase of product. Short economic lesson. What is the major concern about interest rates going up? What's the major concern? During the lower rate time, there were many people who borrowed because it was cheap and their payments were low because interest rates were low. But the moment rates begin to climb, their payments will increase and many won't be able to afford it. Let me tell you the number I heard. They said if interest rates increase 1%, 30% of people with loans are going to foreclose. They cannot afford to pay the payments with a 1% increase. Hard to fathom. Those with loans, those with credit card debt, those with mortgages. Can I say again, if you haven't already, put it on your radar. I encourage you to go to the Lord. I encourage you to inquire of the Holy Spirit and say, God, in the midst of what is going on, what is it that you want us to do in this area? Let me tell you what I'm hearing and we have heard it a long time ago. Many of you are hearing it. Can I just ask you, how many of you heard some time ago the Lord impress upon you and say, it is time to get out of debt? How many of you have heard that from the Lord in the last number of years? Yes. Let me say, that is the Spirit of God speaking to his people, preparing them for what's coming. I got to tell you, praise God for Dave Ramsey. I believe God has used Dave Ramsey. I believe he's raised him up. God has used the strategies that have gone through him and have brought thousands, tens of thousands of people out of debt who have been disciplined enough to stay with the program, and today they walk free of debt instead of the slavery of it. And can I tell you, when there is no debt, raise the interest rate 5%. Will it make a difference? Zero. Put it on your radar. A 1% increase right now may not seem like much, but those of you who are in a position for an interest rate rise, put it on your radar. Inquire of the Lord what he would have you do. Don't come at it after. Come at it ahead of time. Would you write down number 6? Would you write down fuel reserves? Anybody gassed up yesterday? Just raise your hand. Anybody gassed up yesterday? Yep, we got a few. What's the regular price of the pump right now? $155.9. $2 in Vancouver, $4 in Europe. And climbing. You have probably heard they have announced that by summertime it'll be over $1.70. Regular fuel will be over $1.70 here. And they have said by the end of this year it'll be over $2. Does that sound realistic? Realistic? Very realistic. Very realistic. We know, even without being led by the Holy Spirit, we know that for the last number of months, there have been individuals who have known the prices were going up. There are farmers, there are trucking companies, there are individuals who have known what's coming, and they have put preparation away. They have been storing fuel at a low price because they know not just this, but they know what's coming. Can I ask you a question? Fear-based, fact-based, or faith-based? Even now, I want to encourage you in this area, put it on your radar as a believer. God, in this area, what would you have us do? And if it's nothing, be content with nothing. But if God gives you a wisdom and a strategy as a believer in these days for what's going on, and can I just ask you again, how many of you believe we've hit the top and it's on the way down? How many of you believe that with fuel prices? Let me tell you why we don't believe that. As we're watching the war in the Ukraine, we know the taps of Russian oil that have gone all over Europe and all over the world have been turned off. Incredible that the United States of America put a kibosh on our line going from Canada and are now appealing to Venezuela to bring in fuel. Canada, one of the richest countries of the world in resource, we are still importing oil from Russia. Europe is turning to Israel. Did you hear that? Europe has now turned to Israel. Germany has now turned to Israel in order to get gas and oil supplies coming out of Israel. By the way, just for a little bit of information, how many of you remember Craig Hill? Craig Hill's dad was instrumental at discovering the offshore oil and gas reserves in Israel, the technology. God used him in order to open Israel up to incredible prosperity with oil and gas. Craig Hill's dad. Phenomenal. In this area, just put it on your radar. Holy Spirit, what do we do? Let him speak. Would you write down number 7? Would you write down investments, RSPs, mutuals? This is always a fascinating to talk about topic to talk about in public. It's like sex. Everybody does it, but nobody talks publicly about it. Isn't that true? Everybody keeps it pretty private. Let me tell you, in this area, I believe there's three responses. Would you write this down? Number one, there is the response of people today that everything is okay, the markets are fine, we're leaving our investments where they are, we're getting our 3, 4, 5, 7% return, we're just going to leave things there. There's no issue with investing right now, so we're leaving it there. There are those who believe that. I spoke to somebody about that this week. There are those, number two, who have caution. They recognize that there's been change. They recognize there's volatility in the market. They have moved some things to secure them more. And then there's number three. There are those who have lost total confidence in the system, in the markets, in the banks, in the governments. They have totally changed what they're doing with their investments. They have moved it away from volatility and stuck it into something that is stable. Can I ask you, which one's right? Which one is right? How many of you know what the word Shemitah means? Just raise your hand if you know what Shemitah is. Just raise them high. Don't Shemitah. I'm not swearing. Shemitah. Okay? I think that in Christendom, most people in Christendom are aware of what Shemitah means. After 9/11, we became aware of what we didn't know before, and that was the Shemitah, the seven-year cycle in the Jewish calendar, and how there was a financial following of trend with the Shemitah. At the end of every 7 years of the Shemitah, there was a financial correction. You can look back at 2001, 9/11, what happened there? You can look at 2008 with the bank collapse. Look at 2015 with a major market correction, 2015. Let me just say to you, we are in 2022. The Shemitah is coming to an end this September. I won't ask you if you're aware of that. You are now. If Holy Spirit really tells us of things to come in the area of finance and investments, I believe as sons of God, He would want us to know ahead of time as good stewards and not be caught off guard with what's coming. Do you agree? Some of us know that story of Jesse Duplantis. I will never forget him telling it. Back in 2008, the Lord spoke to Jesse Duplantis before all of the banks began collapsing. He went into his bank and he said, I would like to take my money from where it is right here and I want to put it in over here. And they go, no, you don't. And he goes, yes, I do. He goes, I would like to move it from here. They go, no, you don't. Your investments are doing great. Your returns are awesome. They're incredibly stable. You want to leave them there. He goes, no. He says, I would like to move them over here and put them. They go, no, you don't. He goes, whose money is it? When you got to argue with the banker to get your money, there's an issue there. They finally moved all of his money over here. 2.5 months later, the collapse took place. That Christmas day, on Christmas Day, the bank owner came to the bank, came to his house, knocked on the door, had a huge fruit tray. Jesse opened it up. He gave him the fruit tray and said, just want to bring you a gift. He said, wow, that's wonderful. Never had that from you before. He said, I need to ask you, he says, how did you know before this thing went down in order to move your money? He goes, God told me. He said the bank manager, the bank owner looked at him because they're private bank. The owner looked at him and said, next time God talks to you, could you phone me? The bank owner told him he was the only person in their bank who made money during that period of collapse. In 2008, at the end of that Shemitah, he was the only person in the bank who made money. Why? As sons and daughters of God, filled with the Spirit of God, God talks to you and I the same way he talks to Jesse Duplantis. Why? Why? Because Jesse inquired of the Lord. God told Jesse to do something that was totally illogical. Jesse obeyed, and Jesse experienced the fruit of that, while other people didn't inquire, didn't obey, and experienced the fruit of that. I am not telling you again what to do. What I am asking you to do is put it on your radar. Go to the Lord and inquire of the Lord what he would have you do with what you have been able to put away during times of plenty. There are people who remember losing it all overnight. Not believers. Not those led by the Spirit of God. Not those inquiring. Not those who are told ahead of time. Inquire. That's all I'm asking. Inquire of the Lord. And I don't care if you have a little in a savings account that is making 0.0000%, or you have a lot. Inquire of the Lord. One last one. Would you write down water source? Would you write down water source? I will never forget when we went to Israel the first time. Our tour guide, Arye, absolutely fantastic guy. One of the comments he made while we were touring Israel, he said, "I can." And he was in four of the last Israeli wars. He made a statement. He said, "I can tell you that every war that Israel has been in has been fought over water." We were all like, "Are you serious?" He goes, "Water is the most important commodity in this area." Jane and I were, a while back, we were just talking and we brought up the scenario and we said, if power went out, Jane said, "Colin, if power went out and we no longer had the pump to bring water out of our well," she goes, how would we get water to sustain us, our animals? She goes, "How would we do that?" I said, "That's no problem." I says, "We have a generator. We have a reverse switch. We hook that on. We can do things in sequence. We can get it out." She goes, "What would happen if we ran out of fuel?" She goes, "How would we get our water?" We began talking about it. For those of us who have dugouts or sloughs around us, not a big deal. For those of you who live in cities and towns where there are no dugouts and no fuels, if your water source died, if your power, you turned the tap and there was no water, let me ask you a question. How long would you be okay? How long would you be okay? I am not asking you, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm asking you, put it on your radar. Father, if something happened, if power went out, if water no longer flowed through my tap, God, what do you want me to do? I want to give you a few things, and let me just make this really clear. I am totally aware, and it's probably in this room as well, doesn't matter. At one end of this spectrum over here, there are those who go, "You know what? God's going to look after me. I don't need to worry about it. I'm not thinking about it. When we get there, God will look after me. God will, he'll just deal." So whether that is faith or whether that is pure stupidity, I'm not going to decide. But there are those over here who go, "I'm not thinking. I'm just God. Just God." Then there's other over here who go totally off the grid and they go, "You know what? There's no power. No gas. I'm not depending on any of that. I'm already self-sufficient. I'm already looking after. So if all this stuff went down, no problem. I'm already there." You got both ends. And everything in between. Which one's right? I would like you to write down four things, if you would. And I want to encourage in every one of these areas, and I'll tell you, there's a pile of other areas we could talk about, we're not going to, but I want you to write down four things. Number one, in every area, I want to encourage you to seek industry-wise counsel. When you are dealing with a certain issue, you seek wise counsel, people who are trained, people who are prepared, people, this is their livelihood. You seek wise counsel from those people in every one of these areas because they have something you don't have. You get their counsel. Doesn't mean you use it, you just get it. Second one is this. Seek Spirit-led counsel. Let's just take food reserves for a second. I encourage you to find two or three Spirit-led, born-again believers that you trust their counsel, you trust their hearing from the Lord. They are sons of Issachar who know the times and how to do. You go to them and say, in this area, what is God laying on your heart? What is he speaking to you? Get their counsel. Doesn't mean you have to use it. Just get it. Number three, in every one of these areas, do your own research. Don't rely on somebody else doing it for you. Don't rely on the news, because the news is always a day late. Do your research. And number four, in every area, inquire of the Lord. Inquire of the Lord. Before you have to, God, what's coming? God, what do I do? These eight areas, God, I want to know. Inquire of the Lord and be obedient to him. I want to read you one last thing. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, beginning of verse 36, and you know this, it says this: no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Talking about the return of Christ. Then it says this: as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. They knew nothing of what would happen until it was too late. Can I say to you, that is not to be the body of Christ. We have been given a spirit who is telling us ahead of time. If we inquire, if we listen, and if we're obedient. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Dana, could I just have you come for a moment? Father, I'm so thankful that in these days that we're living in, the promises that you have given are sure, that you'll never leave, you'll never forsake. The promise that you will take what the enemy means for evil and you can turn it and work it for good. The promise, Father, that doesn't matter what happens, that you're going to be there. You're going to guide us and you're going to lead us through. But Father, you have made it so that we as your children are different from those of the world. We as your children are not relying on the news, not relying on what is going on around us to make our decision. We as your children are trusting in you with all of our heart. We are not leaning on our understanding. But in every area, we're inquiring of you. We're acknowledging you. We're seeking your counsel. We're seeking your wisdom. And we are asking you to show us what is coming. I thank you today that in the body of Christ, I thank you that you have raised up people who are hearing your voice with clarity. They are the watchmen on the wall. They are speaking out for those who would have ears to hear, so that the body would not be caught off guard. It would not be said of us as it was of the days, those in the days of Noah, that they had no idea what was coming. Father, you want us to know. You've equipped us to know. And in that knowing, you are preparing us. I release a grace over every person under the sound of my voice. Father, there is no security in finance. There is security in your words. And And so today I release a grace over this body, that as we inquire, we would hear with a clarity. We would begin to experience maybe what we have never before. We would know what's coming before it comes. We would hear from you what we're to do, even though the counsel of everyone around us is different. When they're telling us, you don't want to do that. Because of your voice, we go, yes, I do. And yes, I am. And yes, I will. And when everybody around it falls apart, and we are still standing, we will give you the glory. We will give you the credit. We will introduce people to you when that bank owner stands at our door and says, next time God speaks to you, would you phone me? We will say, better for you to know him personally and for you to hear him speak. Father, I release that grace over this body today. And I thank you in advance. We are not a people who will be caught off guard. We will be a spirit-led people, prepared in every area of our life, walking by faith, not in fear, giving you all the glory. I pray over every marriage represented. I ask, Father, that there would be such a clarity of hearing your voice that there would be unusual unity. Father, there may have been no unity for years. It doesn't matter. You are a God who is able to change that in a day. As we hear your voice, give unity over finance, give unity over preparation, give unity over whatever is being inquired about. Would you give unity between husbands and wives in Jesus' name? I release that today. And Father, I pray for families with young children. As the head of the homes rise up and begin to call the family to account and call them to responsibility and call them to stewardship, in these days, would you prepare the hearts of the children to be responsive and obedient to that spiritual leadership, and they would begin to experience a unity as family like never before. I release that grace over the children in this body in Jesus' name. Father, I declare again in this day and every day, because you are our God, would you let our life be a witness to the unbeliever? Would you let them see that we are walking in peace when the world is walking without it? That we are walking in faith when the world is walking in fear? When they are falling apart, we are pulling them to us and taking advantage of every opportunity of ministry. Thank you. It begins today when we walk out this door. Would you bow with me? Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. God is speaking through that dream. I declare to you today, as a child of God in this world, which you already know, the Lord has blessed you. And he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his face to shine on you, and he's gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you, and in these days he's filled you with his peace and his counsel of what is to come. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Everybody receiving said, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week.